And now for the reading of God's Word. I've changed the reading from what's printed in the bulletin, and I'll say a word or two maybe about that in just a moment. But I'm reading from Joshua chapter 1, starting in verse 1. I believe the correct verses will be up on the screen. After the death of Moses, the Lord's servant, the Lord spoke to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant. He said, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Therefore, the time has come for you to lead these people, the Israelites, across the Jordan River into the land I am giving them. I promise you what I promised Moses. Wherever you set foot, you will be on land I have given you. From the Negev wilderness in the south to the Lebanon mountains in the north, from the Euphrates River in the east to the Mediterranean Sea in the west, including all the land of the Hittites. No one will be able to stand against you as long as you live, for I will be with you as I was with Moses. I will not fail you or abandon you. Be strong and courageous, for you are the one who will lead these people to possess all the land I swore to their ancestors I would give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the instructions Moses gave you. Do not deviate from them, turning either to the right or to the left. Then you will be successful in everything you do. Study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night, so you'll be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. This is my command. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Joshua then commanded the officers of Israel, "Go through the camp and tell the people to get their provisions ready. In 3 days you'll cross the Jordan River, take possession of the land the Lord your God has given you." Then Joshua called together the tribes of Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh. He told them, "Remember what Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you. The Lord your God is giving you a place of rest. He has given you this land. Your wives, children, and livestock may remain here in the land Moses assigned to you on the east side of the Jordan River. But your strong warriors, fully armed, must lead the other tribes across the Jordan to help them conquer their territory. Stay with them till the Lord gives them rest, and as he has given you rest, until they, too, possess the land the Lord your God is giving them. Only then may you return and settle here on the east side of the Jordan River, in the land that Moses, the servant of the Lord, assigned to you." They answered Joshua, "We will do whatever you command us, and we will go wherever you send us. We will obey you just as we obeyed Moses, and may the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. Anyone who rebels against your orders and does not obey your words and everything you command will be put to death. So be strong and courageous." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we come this morning hearing these words you spoke to Joshua, to be strong and courageous. We invite your Holy Spirit now to be in this place, to be here, to speak through this moment together. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. It was a mighty good thing to hear Brother Brian share his testimony of God's healing work in his life. There are others of you who are here who have been in that place to say, "I have been with the Lord through this great journey. The Lord is true, the Lord is real, and healing does take place." That's very real. This week, I was sitting in an office with my wife, and as we arrived to an empty room, which she did not give me permission to share this story, by the way, and as we arrived into this room, they turned on the TV in the waiting area. And this TV was this commercial was highly produced, talking about how good a place this was. It was just us and the receptionist there, and I just kind of reacted to having this commercial played for me and told Carol, "I'm going to find all the people who like my preaching and have a commercial played of their witness to my preaching in the lobby of the church. Everyone would have a better time that way." There was that look first, and then the elbow. which meant I needed to be quiet. I just embarrassed her, which, by the way, she reiterated later that day on the phone. I love you, sweetheart. In that visit with the commercial, it was a stressful visit. I was anxious to be there, but we were there together. And what Brian had to say, and what we will hear over and over again, in the times of our trials and tribulations, that we recognize that we are there together. Whether you're married or you have family, this is a family. You are not alone. That even in those moments when you feel disconnected from God, that God is with you, that you are in this experience together. We come today to a story of Joshua. Joshua, if you remember, Joshua is one of only two people to have been born under Egyptian slavery and to live through the wilderness experience to walk into the promised land. It was Joshua and Caleb who were the only two of the 12 spies sent over into the promised land to give a report back to Moses about what it was like. 10 of the 12 said, Moses, we shouldn't go there. Though God has said for us to go, the report of 10 of the spies were, they are strong, we will not be victorious. Caleb and Joshua, though, they were people of faith. They were the spies that came back to Moses and the only two to give a good report, which said, I think we should do this. I think we should follow God. I think we will be able to be victorious in this adventure together. By the way, 10 of those 12 died. God did not allow those 10 negative words to live. Thank the Lord, God doesn't do that to us today, right? I mean, you know, when you think about the future of the church and all the challenges that we have in our life, that just because you have a bad day, God seems to have more grace with us than those early spies with Moses. Joshua was the only one permitted to go halfway up the mountain when Moses was receiving the law. Moses trained Joshua. Moses was the mentor for Joshua. And at the end of Deuteronomy chapter 34, when Moses' time would come to an end, that commissioning that Moses has had with Joshua, God's self will bury Moses, and the authority of Moses would be passed on to Joshua. When Joshua, this book begins, they are on the east side of the Jordan River that was conquered while Moses was still in charge. Now it comes Joshua's time. When Moses, my servant, was dead, here comes Joshua to lead the people. You know, in every adventure of life, there is God's plan or God's goal, our plans that we make with God, and how we work the plan, right? When you think about anything in your life, what are the goals in your life? What are the goals of the faith in Jesus Christ? What are the goals of this church? I think if I could summarize the goal of all of Scripture, it is to show us how to grow in love of God and love of neighbor. That we would experience God's love through Jesus Christ. That's the goal. And the plan is worked out through the life of Jesus. And we study that plan. We study how that unfolds in our lives. And we come to terms with how God's plan sometimes is different than our plan. We think we recognize God's plan. And then we, like an accordion, a piece of paper folded like an accordion, we see the plan and then it unfolds and there was a crevice there. We never really realized that that was also a part of this unfolding plan. To be entirely transparent with you, I've spent the last several days in the hospital with my stepdad and my mom. On Wednesday, in the morning, not long after Max and Charlie had arrived for their time with Papa Jim and Nana, my stepdad experienced an aneurysm and a massive heart attack. would be transported to the Madison County Hospital and there life-flighted to Vanderbilt. There were several moments on Wednesday of disconnection. Mama had dropped the boys off with my mom to go help her dad pack for the last time before school started, as my in-laws are moving to Gallatin. My boys were in Parker's Crossroads in the middle of an emergency. I left my office during lunch I just had gone to lunch. I got the call. I needed to go find my children. They were well. They were taken care of. My aunt had them. But what unfolded over the next several days, there was so much sense of being disconnected. We're so thankful for the love of our church family because of what we were trying to do with me in the hospital, Carol trying to help her dad. Jeff and Kim Rice were angels in our story who I was able to drop the kids off on Wednesday. And then they drove those two little boys, which is not an easy thing to do, by the way, all the way to North Carolina so they could be with mom. I'm thankful for a church family. I would have been in trouble without a church family in that moment. You can rely on your church family, church. By the way, we do need you. We need to be together. And those who feel well enough, we need you to be back in the room. There's nothing that can replace being the church in the room together. This morning, and I'll get back to the story about Papa Jim, but this morning in the news, I was hearing stories about the American gymnast team. They said they were feeling a little rusty. They weren't on their best game. When the commenters noted that perhaps it was lacking the energy of the crowd of the stadium, and how the lack of the crowd in the room affected how our team was performing in the field of competition. There's nothing that can replace being in together. Being in the room, being in the space together. And we're not peddling guilt for those who need to be at home for health reasons, but those who are able to be here, it's time to come back to be together. There's nothing that can replace in being in the presence of God or being in the presence together. Joshua, this leader who had been one of the spies who'd been there, who had seen what had happened, he is being commissioned and given the goal by God, which was in the first verses of chapter 1, that they are to possess the land that God had promised to their ancestors. That was the plan, the goal. And the plan would be worked out as Joshua would find in the tribes of Israel leadership and then begin to direct them to follow God's way. The goal and the plan had come. Over the last several days, I've heard a lot about goals and plans from physicians. The goal is that Papa Jim would be well, to be restored to life, and that, thank you, God, that he is still alive. The plan has been difficult. Ups and downs. Again, like this piece of paper folded, like an accordion with sneaky things, just unfolding. You didn't realize you'd be walking through this. Late in the night, my mom and I were sitting out in the waiting area of the neurointensive care unit, talking with one doctor after another on a great team of physicians to make decisions about what is the next step that we will do. This morning, my mom gave me a report that he has a fever and also has pneumonia. It will be a struggle to reach the goal. But in the words that God spoke to Joshua, be strong and courageous. Those are words that are true for anyone in a time of tribulation or struggle. Be strong and courageous. I think it's interesting that in this unfolding of the plan, how Joshua would listen to God and how God would use the tribes of Israel to possess the land, the ones that get chosen to lead are the ones who have arrived to their land. 2.5 tribes of Israel were already in the land promised them by God. And they are the ones who are then told with Joshua to lead the fighting warriors across the Jordan River in an incredible story I hope to tell you in some weeks to come. This plan was specific. It had boundaries to it. It had rules set to this plan by God. I don't know if you've been watching the news in the opening ceremonies. I thought it was interesting to see again the ROC, the Russian Olympic Committee. And do you remember the story why it says ROC? It's because they didn't follow the rules. Their team was disqualified from competing under the flag of Russia because of a doping scandal. There are boundaries set in place. Joshua, the word of God to Joshua says, don't deviate from this plan to the right or to the left. Stay the plan. In another story, we will see the same tribes of Israel being defeated because they didn't follow the plan as God prescribed. I want to share with you a story, a video story, just a couple of minutes, about an Olympian whose goal was to compete in the Olympics and whose life plan got off track and how it came back together. Alex, will you share that with us now?
I was actually just on a really big high. I'd done my first professional race, and I was exceeded all expectations. That year, I was definitely one of the big favorites to go win the junior world title. And I actually then learned I had Hodgkin's lymphoma. I remember asking, I'm like, well, am I gonna live? Like, what's the prognosis? Like, and so for a day or two, we didn't quite know what was gonna happen. And so once we got the news it was Hodgkin's lymphoma, we kind of had a little celebration because it's one of the most curable cancers. So it was like, while the journey was gonna be very hard to beat the cancer with very intense chemotherapy, I was gonna be able to get through. So actually I raced a lot with these bracelets. It's with a cancer charity that I've got called Cal's Angels. And they helped me like immensely through my entire like cancer treatment and support and just being there for us and my family. And so actually now a lot of times when I'm just out training or racing, sometimes when I'm having a tough day or looking down, I'll look at these and I'm like, you know, you've been through so much more. You used to be on your bedside, super sick through chemo and just wishing you could be out there and dreaming one day to be out here, not just competing and living, but also just like at the highest level and making this a career and profession at the Olympic level. So I just look back at those moments when I've just like, this is where you want to be. And now I'm very fortunate to be in this position where I am. Tears just came down instantly. I was just like, kind of just a little bit shaky and just like, are you sick, really? And it was just like, this is happening. And it was like, just this wave of emotion. The goal is to not just go to the Olympic Games, but to truly compete and be up there and be in the running for as high of a position as I can individually. But then I also think that we have a really special opportunity with Mixed Team Relay. We're going there with our eyes set on gold.
That's an incredible story from Kevin McDowell, who's a fellow United Methodist. He'll be 29 on the 1st of August. And after 10 years of a cancer, so 10 years ago he was diagnosed with cancer, and then to come back to this place in his life to compete in the Olympics, he recognizes God's work in his life to bring him through, to stand today to be strong and courageous. He'll be competing today at 4:30 our time if you want to watch him in the triathlon. Throughout the first chapter, you will hear God say to Joshua, be strong and courageous. Joshua will then share those words, be strong and courageous, to the children of Israel. And then the final time that we hear it, it's actually the children of Israel saying it back to their leader, be strong and courageous. Now, I want to tell you, in verse 17, I wonder when they tell Joshua, we will obey you just as we obeyed Moses. Those words don't bring me a lot of confidence, right? So if you know that story, they got it wrong a lot. And so in working the plan, they would get it wrong. But their goal didn't change. My prayer for you today is that whether you are in the midst of a struggle in your life, or you've come through the struggle, or perhaps you're one of the brothers and sisters here who have experienced cancer with a loved one and you feel like they have lost the race. And whatever experience that it is, the word does not leave us to be strong and courageous. Today, in Tokyo, the winners will not all wear gold medals. The winners will not all wear bronze or silver medals. For every person who's made it there to compete, they have achieved something in their life. In the church, we really don't compare ourselves to each other, to the saints, to Billy Graham or to Bishop Morris or any of the others that have lived faithfully for God in our time or in our witness. To win the victory, to be strong and courageous, is to know that the goal for you is to love God and to love your neighbor. And the way those plans work out in our lives will be different. We will be distracted. Even if you were to map out on our life, our life plan, there will be times that even that life plan will begin to tear. The word of hope to you is to be strong and courageous. Follow Jesus. Follow Jesus. I want to end with a prayer I read from William Barclay. Let us pray. Grant, O God, that we may never lose the way through our self-will, and so end up in the far countries of the soul, that we may never abandon the struggle, but that we may endure to the end, and so be saved, that we may never drop out of the race, but that we may ever press forward to the goal of our high calling, that we may never choose the cheap and passing things, and let go the precious things that last forever, that we may never take the easy way and so leave the right way, that we may never forget that sweat is the price of all things, and that without the cross, there cannot be the crown. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. I want to invite you to stand with me as we prepare to sing, Great is Thy Faithfulness.